Well, good evening, and greetings in the name of Jesus, our owner. I'm thankful that God has created each one of us, and that He knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He created us, and I'm thankful for that. I hope you had a good, wonderful, snowy day today. Looked beautiful there for a little bit, some nice white yards and stuff. I know some of you are probably thinking it's time to get that over with, but spring will come. It always does. It just takes some long sometimes, but anyway. All right. Well, to continue on our little pre-sermon talk, I had to figure out where our friend went. Anybody down here maybe to start a little nest down here maybe. Looks like it. We didn't give him a name, but I don't know if I'm really into giving rats names. But we were looking a little bit at rodents, right? Rodents of the soul, rodents of the heart, whatever you want to call it. Last night we talked about them being small, or they get in small little areas and they can fit into things and they get into our life without even really knowing whatever happens and how they get in there. And, you know, for different ones of us, younger ones, they come in, we're somewhat born with them, right? We have automatically, we learn to lie pretty quickly. But you know, as we get older, we learn that, you know, we don't do those things. But they still get into us older ones, right? They still get into our lives, and they come in a lot of different ways. Could be a thought, could be an attitude, could be something that came in our ears, could it be whatever. However that gets in, and it's a little, just like a mouse or a rat can get into a house or a building just quietly, they sneak in. Maybe it's an open door, maybe it's a whatever it could be. And they get in there. So we looked at that, and we think of them as being little and just a little thing. But you know, the regular brown rats that we have, this is a black rat. I don't know that we have black rats. I don't know if you have black rats. I don't think so. But usually their body is 9 to 11 inches long, and maybe a tail of 7 to 9. So you have a maybe 20 inch long. Some of them get pretty big sometimes, but they are like 20 inch long. The biggest rat is the Gambian pouched rat. That's up to 3 feet. That's a pretty big rat. I don't know what you'd think of if you'd see that scurrying under the refrigerator. Might hear everyone from the next county yelling. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes we look at, you know, they can get fairly big. Yeah. Rats can, they seem extra big than what they are sometimes. You know, they run in and that, wow, that was a big one. And they're maybe not always as big as you think they are. But, sometimes, and I think I talked about that, we overlook small little failures and little weaknesses and tendencies and different things like that. And we say, oh, it's just who I am. But really, it's a sin. If it is a sin, it is a sin. and we can't let them go. The devil knows he maybe can't. I talked about this. He can't maybe get us maybe sometimes with big things, but that doesn't matter to him. If he can get us with little lies, little whatever, little pride, little greed, little whatever that may be, envy. And you know, sometimes physically, we might talk about this a little later, but my wife is at least, she gets embarrassed if someone would see a mouse or someone when the company's there, you know, a mouse goes running across the counter. I don't think it has ever done that, but she would be pretty embarrassed about that. But you know, and yeah, in life, we sometimes get embarrassed about our sins too, but we don't always take care of them. And I think that's another thing that we should think about is as we someday will stand before Almighty God, we don't want to be embarrassed. We want to have taken care of them before we get there. So God hates big sins, God hates little sins. Another factor that we talked about maybe just a little bit, and I forgot tonight, I have a second one of these, and I was going to put a second one here and have two of them up here. But the thing about rodents is that as soon as you have two, pretty quickly you have a lot. they multiply very fast. A normal house mouse can have a litter in about 60 days from birth. And they usually have an average of 3 to 5 each time and can have as many as 12 litters a year. So every month. another 3 to 5, another 3 to 5, another 3 to 5. So in 1 year, two mice can have pretty many if they're left go, okay? That's a lot in your house pretty quickly. And sin can be like that pretty quickly too. One pair of rats in ideal conditions can produce, I had 12,000, I went looking today, and I had looked before, and I was sure that I came up with that same number, but today I did not find that, okay? So 1,250 to 3,000 rats in 1 year. So they have 6 litters a year. They can have up to 6 litters a year, and they can have 5 to 10. They're called pups, okay? Cute little pups, right? But I did find this, and they, in two pair of rats in perfect conditions, in 3 years, you can have half a billion descendants. That's a lot. One pair of rats. They love big families. And they have a lot of offspring. 9 weeks old, they can start producing. But you know, as I thought about that, you know, sin can be like that as well. And you can take that children, you know, one little, I think I talked about a little bit about that last night, starts little in life. And it grows into big things, little things at first, whatever it is. And I've seen this in adults, you know, that happens in adults that way as well, but just one family, one couple, they allow envy or bitterness against whatever it is, they can ruin a whole family. And they can ruin another. I've seen it up to 3 generations. And that's sad. They multiply. Sin loves, God, the devil loves that. He loves to just multiply that. And not only is he affecting that family, but those that come in contact with it, the church that he's in, the friends that they have, the whatever it all may be, and that just destroys people. Destroys, and it's sad. Lying, cheating, anger, unkindness, disrespect, abuse. I mean, so many things, unholy thoughts, lust. Things like that that maybe we keep hidden, but you know what? They're multiplying, and it just keeps going and going and going. And I pray, God, that that doesn't happen. Here. It's not happening here. But it is the reality that we need to think about. Rodents of the soul, heart, things that get in there. We need to watch out for them because they can multiply very rapidly. And sometimes we think, oh, yeah, I should do something about that. Yeah, I shouldn't be looking at that. Or I shouldn't be doing this. Or I shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, that's not the best thing to do. Or I shouldn't be harboring that attitude. Maybe I need to just forgive and lay it down. But you know what? It just keeps happening, and then soon it rubs off. Your wife starts thinking the same way, and then yeah, eventually your children, and it just goes on down through there. Many of the people who are sitting in jail today, they will tell you that it just started with one thing. And we're saying, well, that's far down the road, but it did just start with one thing, right? They don't even need to be in jail. You can just be in, yeah, just life in general. Where do you find an older person? I have a lot of older people that come into the store and say, if only I would have did this. And life is so different, right? Because they allowed it to just keep multiplying and keep, it just didn't take care of it. Sins can multiply like rats and mice. Rodents of the heart. This quote says, the elephant has only a few offspring and multiplies very slowly. But the aphid has thousands spring from it within an hour. And, you know, I don't know if sin quite goes like that, but it can destroy things very quickly. It will bind you, it will overtake you, and before you know it, you know, we had an epidemic several years ago in our barn. We have an old bank barn, and so they get in the foundation, and they live in there, and we have animals, and so we have feed there all the time, and it was rats all over the place. Actually, it wasn't so bad in there. We had a little chicken house outside, and you would go in the chicken house, this little 10 by 14 or 12 by 14 chicken house or whatever, and you look in at night, the lights were on in there, and you look in there, and there's all over the floor in there, and it was just this little chicken house. You know? I mean, it only started with one. Somewhere, and we had them everywhere. The chickens just be sleeping and roosting, and I don't know what all. And meanwhile, the rats are taking control of the whole floor. I don't remember if there's 30. I don't know. One night, my boys and I, we went in there. You know, we armed ourselves with guns and shovels and every spade that we had, whatever we had, bats and tennis rackets and everything else, and we barged in that door. Each of us went to the holes in the floor and blocked them, and I think we walked out with 16 rats that time. But they were jumping all over the place. It was a little scary. They were running up the walls and jumping off of things. You know, if I would have taken care of them right when we first saw them, that would have taken care of that. But we had a nice picture with all them rats all lined up, made us feel pretty good, but do you know what? That didn't even dent it. There was just that many more. That's just disgusting. Well, we thought we got rid of them, took care of them. Sure enough, this fall, one of the boys is like, you know what? There's a rat in the barn again. This was in the barn this time. Okay, well, you guys need to put some poison down. You got to take care of them. It wasn't long, very long at all. The steer pen, I mean, it's just 20 rats running across the top of the corn. I mean, it's across the manure. They just, like that, right? Very quickly. That's rats. And it is disgusting. It's very annoying that they come in that quick. But sin can be just like that. Very quickly, you know what? It destroys a person. So let's remember that. Think about that, children, that, you know what? I got to take care of this early because he'll take care of it. So God help us to be what he wants us to be in that. We'll see what we can learn again tomorrow evening. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer again. Father God, we thank you. We praise you as we come here this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you can do for us. We thank you for your spirit as it speaks into our life. Lord, just be with us this evening. Give us clarity of thought. May your spirit move among us. Give us words to speak that are from you, Lord. Help them to overlook the messenger, but to understand the message this evening. May your name be honored and glorified. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I went around, you preachers know what this is like, but you go round and around trying to figure out what to preach. Oh, should I do this? Should I do that? Yeah, I think I'm going to do this. And then you go this. And no, I think I should do this. And finally, God lays it on your heart what it should be. I don't know why God does that sometimes, makes us go in circles, but I think it's so that we don't rely on ourselves. Probably is what it is. But I'd like to think a little bit on what's guiding you in life. What is your guide in life? What directs your life? What directs your choices? What directs your actions? And you have to sort of think about that for a little bit, because probably most times we don't say, well, yes, that's exactly what's directing me, right? Yeah, you don't think about that. How surrendered are we? Or what is it, are we directed by God? Is my life directed by the Holy Spirit? Or is it by someone else or something? How surrendered are we? Where is it? So I did a little drawing up here. I like watching people and seeing what they do. And sometimes it's just fun watching people just see what all they do. So, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you have it up here, but people are walking along the road, and that's supposed to be a dog. But they're walking along the road, and they're walking with their dog, right? I don't know how many of you walk with the leash with your dog, but maybe yours just run, which like ours does. But you see them, and they're walking in the park or whatever it may be, and they're walking nicely along with their dog, right? And the dog is at the end of their leash, right? And they're walking. They're enjoying it. Maybe it's a park. Maybe it's a nice pathway. I saw some state parks down here. Maybe this is probably a lot of times you can go there. Probably, I imagine, if it's like ours. You know, there's people walking all along the path with their one dog or 10 dogs or whatever hooked to their leash, whatever it may be. But, you know, they're walking, meandering through the grass or the woods or whatever. And you're sitting off to the side and you watch this man, just to say he's a man. They're walking with his dog. And the dog seems to be enjoying the walk, and the man seems to be enjoying the walk, and, you know, the man's talking to the dog, and the dog's wagging his tail, you know, there's a connection there, and things are happening. The dog stops to smell, and the man stops too, and, you know, they wait for a while, or they go on a little further. And, you know, they're both clearly enjoying their walk. They're walking through the woods. But what's something that's sort of interesting to me is that not all dogs like this, but maybe it's, you know, I'm just going to call him Rover. Maybe Rover, they're walking along, and all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, a squirrel runs across the walkway in front, right? That dog just looks up in the sky, you think? Not usually, right? That dog lunges for that squirrel, right? Instantly. Jumps, runs for that squirrel, and immediately that man's like, whoa, I got to hold on. I got to see what's happening. And he holds back in that leash, right? And he's trying to hold this dog back. And it could be whatever. Maybe it's another dog. Maybe it's a rabbit. Maybe it's a mailman. If they're walking along the road, whatever. It may be a child. Another dog. Sometimes you have them, you know, they pass each other and, you know, they're barking and yapping at each other. But they go after you. They go after that, right? They're pulling it. And maybe it's one of those retractable or those leashes that goes way out, you know, and it's running, and this dog runs all the way to the end of the 20 foot, comes to the end, you know, it pulls, jerks the man around a little bit. The leash is locked. Maybe it's just a normal 6 foot leash, whatever it may be. But at any rate, that dog lunges for whatever comes out, right? Whatever runs across. And because that's what dogs do, right? They're designed to run after things, and they're inquisitive. They like action, most dogs. And maybe sometimes you have another one. Every once in a while you find this, where the dog is a lot bigger than what the person can carry, right? And so you have a dog that is running like this, and a man that's going like this, right? And he's trying to hold this dog. And it's all, who's pulling who, right? That dog is, I've seen him almost dragging a lady one time. And if you look online, you see different stories like that, where it drug this lady, whatever, man or whoever it was. Dogs are too big for home around, right? But that dog got on a roll, and it was running. And it pulled that man or that person, whatever it may be. A lot of different stories that you can look at with that. But you know, as I was thinking, as I think about that, we all are born with emotions, feelings, desires, lusts. We're born with a sin nature, right? And our thoughts. And you know, as humans, we get emotional, and our thoughts and our feelings, we tend to, you can sort of go all over the place, right? Things come along, all of a sudden the day changes, and you're after this or that or whatever it may be, right? Pretty quickly. Not all that is wrong, right? We're designed, God created us to do that way. But sometimes we find our flesh pulling us places that it shouldn't be pulling us. And is it actually pulling us, or have we stopped it? So who's at the end of your leash? Who's controlling who? Is what my question is this evening, as you think about that. Who is at the end of your leash, is the title. And, you know, looking at society around us, people are led by their emotions, their thoughts, their desires, and very quickly you know who's leading who, right? You can see that very quickly, that whatever their hat they're wearing, whatever their sports teams on their t-shirt, whatever big stickers on the back of their windows, whatever. You can see who's leading who, right? And you know what? That reaches sometimes into churches and young people and dads and moms and whatever all, right? But you can tell pretty quickly, and that you can see by the wording on their shirts or the way they talk, their motorcycle is their life, or their cars are life, or they want to. Yeah, I have some old guys that they come in, and their old cars are their old trucks are their life, and you got to come out and see this. Got to come out and see this. Well, it's not that big of a deal to me, but you know what? For them, it's a big thing. It is their life, and anything that goes with that is what they're all about. That's what's pulling them in life. Sports, big thing in sports. Well, we saw it here in the last while. Political, right? That's what was driving them in life, right? Their politics was on the end of their leash, and that's what was pulling them. But you know, for us, it can be very much, you know, what are our feelings and desires that can be wrong as well? And many times, you know, it can be something that comes along and something triggered, the day went bad and poof, triggered anger. Who's controlling who? What happened? Greed, envy, something all of a sudden you heard of someone got this and, oh, that just got under your skin that they are doing that, or whatever, pride. Impatience with children, and it just sort of ruins our day or our attitude or whatever it may be, and unthankfulness, whatever, bitterness, a lot of things. Yeah, we arguing, whatever it may be, a lot of different things you can think of that is controlling us. It could be impurity. You know, if our mind is bent towards those things, that's going to control us in what we look at, whether we take the second look, whether we take the whatever it may be. A lot of different things will. Think about that, but you know, what comes out of our mouth? Very quickly, oh, whoa, what was that? And as you think about that. So God's desire And so the question again is, who is command of the leash? My flesh? Is it going to be my flesh? My flesh, God created that, created us with emotions and things like that. So is that controlling me? Or am I controlled by a different power, the Holy Spirit, in my life? And that's a constant battle. We're going to look at that. But that is a constant battle because we live in the flesh. God does not take away our desires. He doesn't take away our physical emotions and thought, the ability to think and choices and all that we can make. But God's desire, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body," which would be our flesh, everything that's our external, all the things that part of us, "and body be preserved," what? "Blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And God forbid, God does not intend that as we go through life that, you know, we all of a sudden get drug into this and we get pulled off to that. As soon as this comes up, we're into this. And the next new fad, we're into this. I'm human the same as you are. And so I know what that's all about. You know, this is the next rage or this is the next thing and whatever it may be. And that's a challenge. Where are we going to find ourselves? So we're going to look at several passages here this evening. I think we'll start with 2 Corinthians 10. And talking about some of this, it is a warfare that we're in. I was going to look at some passages in the Bible that talk about spirits, or their spirit. One of them I'll just refer to quickly. You remember the 10 spies as they went into Canaan. And you had the 10 spies that went there, and they, very quickly, they were swayed. Their passions were, there is absolutely no way we can go in there. They were controlled by what they could see, right? The giants are huge. We were like grasshoppers. This is ridiculous. We wouldn't even think of going in there. Joshua and Caleb, it says, they had another spirit within them, right? It doesn't say the Holy Spirit, but there was something in them that was different. And they saw beyond that. They were not controlled by surroundings and what all was there. They recognized that they were there, right? But it didn't guide them. That's one of the thoughts I was thinking about that. 2 Corinthians 10. We'll read verses. I don't know where to start and stop here, but verse 3, I guess. Verse 2. "I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh..." Yep, we walk in the flesh. We have our dog in front of our leash, right? We have it. The feelings are, we hear, we see, we have that, right? We can't get around that. "We do not war after the flesh. We aren't controlled by that. We don't have to, doesn't have to be controlled by all that. For the weapons of this warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." If somehow a person could bring the dog into the obedience of Christ, the dog would just walk gently along no matter what ran in front of it, right? But it's a dog, okay? We can't talk, you can't get around that. Our lives, our flesh, can be brought into that as well. Can be brought in under subjection, I should say. We can still see these things. We still hear these things. We still have a choice to say, "Do you know what? I could get angry right now. Or I might get angry, but you know what? Well, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to be pulled in that." And we say, "You know, I'm sorry, God. We're going to change that." We may think bad words or maybe say a bad word all of a sudden. "Well, God, I'm sorry. I did that. I that was not the right thing to say." And we can very quickly do that, or we can continue on that path. Whatever, we can talk about a lot of different things like that, but we're talking about a warfare here. Talks about a warfare. "Mighty," says mighty, powerful, mighty, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's the God that we have. The God, that the Holy Spirit that can come in, inside of our hearts. And we can control that. We can find peace in a world where there's rabbits and dogs and everyone else running in front of us, right? I hope you get what I'm trying to say there. But it says to the pulling down of strongholds. We think of pulling down, we think of demolition or extinction. We can't really extinct our thoughts and things like that, but to put pulling them down and pulling them into recession or holding them at bay. Strongholds, we think of a castle maybe or something that has a strong desire, something that holds near. And you know, all of us have passions. We all have things that we like, things that maybe tend to go after and think of, and we really like this. And so maybe we like really nice things, or we like nice vehicles, or we like new, nice, whatever. And that is not all wrong. God created us all different, right? But when it's a driving force in our life, and it's pulling us to every, you know, I got to make all this, I got to make this money because I am going to get this, or I am going to do this, or I want to have that dress, or I want to have, well, I don't know, whatever. You can put all kinds of things in there, right? That becomes a stronghold, a castle in our life that we start, you know what, we run after. And it says casting down, pull down, destroy, lower. And, you know, there are some things in my life that I had to go work at for a long time to try to get to minimize that and to put that down. And every once in a while that comes back. And I have to like, whoa, what is that? I need to put that down again. I need to grab a hold of the leash and say, do you know what? I'm in control of this. And it says imagination, reasoning, conceited thought, every imagination of the heart. That's what it says. Where are we at here? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So there's a lot of things in life. We can imagine a lot of things, but there's a lot of things that are high and they exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And the world is full of that. The world is geared to sidetrack us. Just geared to appease to people, I should say it. And there's to some extent we do that, right? I mean, that I sell things, nice grills, so that, you know, I hope that they like them, right? But there's some things where that shouldn't be a drive in life for some of those things. We have to think about that. So it's a war, it's a fight. Romans 6. Turn to Romans 6. Romans 6, I'm going to start at verse 7 and read to the end of the chapter. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin reign. Be in control at the end of your leash. Let not sin reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't let your dog run after every single thing in life, right? But yield yourselves unto God. Stay in control of it. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto life? As soon as we let that dog run after the cat, and we do, you know, that dog pretty soon learns that the next cat that comes, the next thing that runs, is going to do it again and again and again and again, okay? And you can train a dog not to do that, right? Our Christian life's the same thing. When we figure out the Holy Spirit is in charge in our life, and we start realizing, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm dead to that. You can grow into that. That's the wonderful thing that does happen. However, we are still human, all the way till we're 100. I'm not 100 yet, but, you know, it's interesting. We have some older men at our church, and it's interesting listening to them, and I'm sure you older men can tell us that, but life doesn't necessarily get easier, but you do learn to grow. I got sidetracked there. Now, where was I reading? Verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. And we talked about righteousness last night. But when you were servants of sin, you know what? You didn't have any righteousness in you. You just ran after the things that you wanted to run after, right? And we see that in the world all around us, wherever that is. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of these things is what? Death. And we'll look at that a little bit. What happens to a dog that runs all crazy at the end there, maybe a little bit. But, you know, in life, it's very true, right? You continue on those things and you live for your flesh. What's it say here? It'll end in death, spiritual death for eternity. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and to an end, everlasting life. Totally different there. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I guess the question is, am I living my life? Am I giving my control over to Jesus Christ? Or who is it at the end of my leash? Who is actually running my life? Is it self? Or is it the Holy Spirit? And we cannot, in and of ourselves, we have to turn ourselves over to the Holy Spirit. We cannot, in and of myself, I cannot say, you know what? Willpower can do a lot of things. But finally, sin takes control, right? And it is interesting that, you know, finally you can see some people that they think, you know, I can just handle that. I can just handle that. I'm going to say no to this. But you know what? Without the help of the Holy Spirit, that doesn't work. Eventually, they're going to get them. The devil knows that. So we need to make sure we turn over the leash to the Holy Spirit. We sing of that song, I Surrender All. Is that what we are choosing to do? Galatians 5. Let's turn to Galatians 5 here. Galatians 5, I'm going to read 16 to 26. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to rule our life and to be in control of it. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It does opposite of what the Spirit wants, right? It runs after that. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. That's a constant pull, right? This man is trying to hold the dog. The dog runs fast. It pulls him over. He tries to hold back. The next thing that comes along, it pulls him again. And it's a constant battle. You see them. You watch them. They're jerking along and they're holding this leash, right? Who's really in control? The dog really ends up pulling the man. Actually, on the way up here, I think I actually saw someone from Pennsylvania. I think I saw someone being dragged along by it. I mean, you watched them. They were like running to keep up after this dog. Now, maybe they didn't care exactly where the dog was going, but I don't know if he could have stopped if they wanted to exactly. Anyway. Verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, longsuffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. That takes a continued happening in my life, and I'm sure it does in your life as well. And we cannot do that unless we have the Holy Spirit within in our heart. We have to have a changed heart, a heart that is sold out for living for Christ. If we wishy-washy back and forth between that, we will not get anywhere, right? Until we turn over to Christ. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I was thinking about, turn to Colossians 3 here quickly too. Colossians 3, you know, Colossians 3 here in the verse, first couple verses. We have this little diagram here where we have, you know, we have this outside, we have the outside, this is our outside perimeter or whatever, our outside, our what you see, right? What the things that come out. So we have our words. We have our actions. We have our countenance. You see me smiling, you see if I'm angry, you hear the words that come out of my mouth. Those are the external things, right? You know what happens, how that works. Then underneath that, that's what they come from. We have thoughts, right? There's always a thought that produces a deed, right? Or a word, or whatever it may be. There's attitudes. We all have attitudes. It could be an attitude of thankfulness, but it could be an attitude of complaining, right? We have those, right? We have emotions. Some things that we're more passionate, some of us are more passionate about than others. That's okay. God created us like that. That's okay. Then we get into a little bit deeper, and we have maybe our longings. Maybe that goes a little bit deeper, our longings in our life. Like, what do I really want in life? How do I want to do that? What do I want? We have our desires. We all have different desires. Some of us will find out that, you know, we can't always do the desires of our life. And we'll find out we get halfway through life, and you know what? That's never going to happen. And then you get a little, then you get in the middle here, and you can say our body, soul, and spirit. This isn't necessarily all the way it is, and people can look at this different ways. But we have our loyalty, or we have our allegiance. Loyalty and allegiance, okay? That's in the middle there. So, and that loyalty and allegiance could be, it's going to be one or the other. Self, or it's going to be, in this case, in Colossians 3, it's going to be Christ or the Holy Spirit, right? One or the other is going to affect every single one of those things out through there. However you look at that. We have self. You know what? Our longings is going to be, you know, I want what I want, and I'm going to get it somehow. And then it's going to move into our thoughts and our attitudes and how we're going to figure this out in life. And it's going to come out in our words and our actions and our countenance, and you're going to see it, right? Very quickly. But you know, if it's Holy Spirit filled, that changes. Our allegiance is, our loyalty is to Jesus, and that's what our life revolves around Jesus, and that's what needs to happen. Those desires change, right? Those desires that were once to fulfill the flesh are now, you know what? I want to desire heavenly things. I want to be what God wants me to be. And that's our desires and our longings. And you know what? We think about that. And our attitudes start changing. Our emotion, we get emotional about things that belong to God, right? To Jesus. And then that should come out in our countenance. And too often, maybe we get in here and we're a little, where is our loyalty? Who's at the end of my leash? What's happening here? And so hopefully that can give you a little idea, a little bit on all that big scribble. You probably can't even read it from back there. But anyway. As you think about that, in Colossians 3 here, starting in verse 1, if ye then be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And he goes on there and he talks about mortifying. But number one I had here, not necessarily in order here, but number one we have seek, right? So we have to seek. We're going to seek Christ. And that takes a choice, right? Somewhere along the line, you and I, we have to reach out and we have to seek Christ. And he has to become into our life and be our owner. We talked about that, right? To be our owner, we have to seek him. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. So as we continue to keep seeking that, our loyalty begins to change. As we, with a sincere desire, we seek that, right? Eventually, we set. It says, go on, it says, set your affections. So we gotta set. And there's some action. These actions are going to have to, we're going to have to seek Christ first. That's our first action. We go out and we reach. And then we need to set our, what's it say there? Set your affections. Set your affections on things above, God on things of this earth. Number three, he says, we are dead and your life is hid in Christ. You know, when we're living for self, when self is on the throne, we're not hid, right? We know what we want and we're going to get it some way or the other, right? Maybe it's not quite that, but it's about me, right? It's about me, about you, whoever it may be. But when our life is hid in Christ, it doesn't matter. Whatever Jesus wants for my life, we are hid in there. We are hid with Christ in God. We follow what Christ wants in my life. And that sounds so simple, but it's not. It's a war, right? It's a war, and that takes that. But it takes a mindset that you and I, you know what? We are hid in Christ, and so it doesn't matter what self wants, what self thinks it needs to have, what self thinks it needs to get back at, what self needs wants and desires or whatever. No, we're hid in Christ. We find our longing, we find our desires, we find that all in Christ. We are fulfilled in Christ. We're hid in Him. The fourth one there says, well, we have mortify. And that's another thing. So when we're hid with Christ, you're going to have to mortify, therefore your members which are upon the earth. And that's all the things that you're going to have to do. All our fleshy things that we're drawn to, all these ugly things it talks about, uncleanness and covetousness and idolatry. Mortify therefore the members that are which are upon the earth. Verse 6, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath. And he goes down through there and talks about that. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. One of the things I wanted to go back, look back here in verse, we're going to be hid with Christ. If we're hid with Christ, and we have, you know, Christ is who we live for. It's not self anymore, it's Christ. And I want what Christ wants. And so when things happen, the cat runs across the road, or whatever flesh desire, whatever that thing may be, it's not self anymore, I'm Christ. I respond with things that Christ wants us to respond with. The fruits of the Spirit, a lot of different things like that. And it says in verse 4 there, it says, when Christ who has our life, and it's talking about the future here, but when Christ who is our life, when he shall appear, what's it say? We're going to appear with him. That'll be the ultimate. We won't have to worry about that anymore. All this fight on this earth, and I am just looking forward to that. We're going to talk about that some night probably, but you know, the war will be over. I sometimes walk by a casket of an old saint. I was at several this past year, and I'm almost a little bit jealous, like, you made it. There's no more war. The war is real for my life. And, you know, we want to stay faithful. It's a hard... and I'm thankful that God is there for us. Okay, going on. So we can appear with him in Christ, and that's going to be a wonderful thing someday. Just a couple quick things here. I was thinking about this. Number one, we think about the power, right? If we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we have the power. There is a power there. The strength, our anchor, we take on Jesus Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit. We cannot underestimate that. There is a power there that can keep a man that once drank and drank the rest of his life, and he stops, right? And I'm using the worst maybe of things, but he stops. And he can do that just as much for many other things in our life. Whatever that means, that could be lust, that could be bitterness, that could be anger, that can be unforgiveness, that can be so many things. We struggle with it, right? It's real life. There's these things come up. The power to change people, unmovable, all-knowing, never changing, fulfilling, creator. He understands. We talked about that. He creates us. And he helps us to stay on the path. But you and I need to release to him. We need to hand over the leash to the Holy Spirit. Is this what's going to take place? And we need to understand that. You know, when that man is in control, that man is taller. And he can see things farther than that dog can, right? So he knows farther. And we just understand that God is that. I don't like to compare God to man. But in this dog and man relationship, we're talking the same thing. God is way bigger than you and I. And our flesh is down here seeing all the things that we think is terrible. There's a power. The Holy Spirit knows way before he knows what test is going to happen tomorrow, what test next year, whatever it may be. And we can trust him that he can do that. Number two, we have to recognize that we still have the flesh, right? We have the sinful nature. We still have feelings. We still have emotions. We still have our operating system. We have our, you know, we have our feelings. We have our touch and taste and smell and hear. We have all those. Dogs love rabbits. They love great smells. They love many wonders, and they like to run after things. And, you know, we as people, we still like things. And some of those things are okay. But when they take us away, when they take our loyalty away, and each one of us is different, some of us can handle something that the other one can't. I mean, within reason. But I think you know what I'm trying to say. That there's some things that I had to lay down. You know what? I couldn't handle that anymore. I just cannot do that. And, you know, that's hard sometimes when you see, you know, the people there, it's fine, they're doing it, but, you know, I couldn't handle it. So that was, I had to lay that down. The desire to return evil for evil, it's still there, right? He deserves such and such, whatever, he did that. We still like nice things. We like to be approved of people. We still envy sometimes. And we need to reckon with that fact. That dog can all of a sudden jerk that man when he's standing there straight, and all of a sudden, wow, he didn't see what's happening. That our flesh sometimes can jerk us a little bit. Like, wow, where did that come from? We need to reckon with that. We need to think about that. Number six, we need to consider the struggle. And we're probably talking about this, but it's going to be a struggle. It's a war. It's a back and forth thing. It's going to be happening all the time. Our flesh is going to run here. You know what? You need to hold it. And it's going to be a struggle. It started in the Garden of Eden, and it continues on all the way through till the end of time. It's a warfare. We are at enmity. It's a battle. Contradiction. We are never going the same way. And our flesh doesn't like being held back. The devil doesn't want us to be held back either. And it affects, you know what? That same battle affects all. And that's amazing to me. It affects parents, it affects men, it affects women, it affects young people, it affects older people, it affects everyone. Preachers, everyone, right? We're all in a warfare. We're all in a battle. We might as well just expect, you know, we're all in a battle. We need to accept that. Number four, we have the pathway. So those are different pathways that God calls us to go on. And different things that we meet along the pathway, different rabbits and squirrels that run across, whatever it may be. It could be brotherhood relations, that hurt that came in here, that, you know what? I have to deal with that. That's a rabbit that my flesh wants to run after, and I need to take care of it. It could be, something rubs us the wrong way. It could be employment and money. It could be injury, hit our finger, whatever. And all of a sudden, whatever. Accidents, life's not fair. It could be home life. It could be our marriage. It could be decisions to purchase or not to purchase. And we have this here, and we're weighing in the balance. Well, if I get this, is it going to affect my children this way? Am I going to do this? It's going to do that. And we have these things. Well, I really would like this, but you know what? It's probably not the best for this. And whatever, parenting, lots of different things. And then the path is, God takes us on all different paths. And we all are faced in different, some of us are not blessed as much, some of us are blessed more. Some are in a lot of different ways, all different ways. And so that all affects us all different. And now our backgrounds and our relations, where we come from, a lot of different things. Where you find yourself in life, in different aspects of life. We might look at that sometime here on the different phases of life. But anyway, number five. So we have all that. Then we have the choice. What are we going to choose when that happens? The change of allegiance. You and I, we have to make that choice. Somewhere along the line, we have to come to the point, you know what? I am going to choose to serve Christ. Does that mean I'm going to be perfect from here on out? That I'm not going to fail? No, but our loyalty is to Christ. Our allegiance is to Christ. And you and I, we have to somewhere, each one of us has to make that commitment and ask God to keep us in that commitment the whole way through, or we will never make it. We're going to be running after every squirrel in life, every rabbit in life, whatever it may be. You put whatever there. Who controls us? Is it self? Is it our upbringing? You can think about that sometimes. What's the frame of reference? But, you know, our parents and our upbringing sometimes can taint our view sometimes and can change all that. Or is it Christ? Is it a church and brotherhood? Hopefully that is always good. But, you know, sometimes that can taint. It, you know, comes back to we have to be loyal to what God wants from my life. It can be, knowledge or is it heart? It's a choice. We'll be tested. It takes a choice. We are not born having the Spirit. We need to choose. The Bible says Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. We each have to make that choice. Number 6, what we feed on, right? The paths we choose and the end goal and what we choose to feed on. I'm going to call this man Sam. But that man Sam, if he's getting tired of pulling around, dog still wants to go on a walk. Rover still wants to go on a walk. But he maybe sometimes, you know, might have to pick a different path for Rover if he doesn't want to be jerked around, if he can't handle him, okay? I'm just making this up here, but a little bit. But, you know, if he likes running after squirrels and there's no squirrels on this side, maybe he's going to have to go on this side. And so we have to sometimes make those choices as well. I can't put myself in this temptation, or I can't choose to, maybe I can't work here, maybe I can't go this way to work, or maybe I can't do this. Maybe I can't associate with these people because it's causing me to what we feed on, what we think about. Maybe I can't handle certain music or certain places we go, or maybe I can't handle the internet. You know, maybe I just need to have my internet locked off. Maybe I can't handle, I have this thing at home where we have, and you probably have it here, but podcasts are becoming a huge thing. And I'm not saying all podcasts are wrong, but we have to be careful. They can take us. And very quickly, we started listening to things that, little by little, it's just little, like a little rat in there that's taking things. And we have to be careful with that. Blogs, social media. So all these things that we know. But sometimes we have to just shut it off because it's feeding the wrong person. It's feeding the wrong self. It's feeding self instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to control. And I think that's very important. We need to think about that. Philippians 4, I'm just going to quick turn there. Philippians 4, in time to close here. Philippians 4, verses 5 to 8 here. We're very familiar with these verses. But let your moderations be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It's what we feed on. And that, this world, we have so much. The Mennonite Church has been inundated with so many things that we can feed on. The internet is number one, probably, in our phones and statuses and WhatsApps. All those things are feeding into our life. They affect these things right here. We have to make choices. You know what? Sometimes I'm going to say, you know what? I am not going to do that now. I'm not going to look at that anymore. Whatever it may be. And it might not all be all wrong, but it's feeding the wrong thing. Okay, so we have to think about what we feed on. The control. We talked about the choice. We talked about the control. So we have a choice. We choose to say, you know what? I want Jesus to be my allegiance. But you know what? We have to hand over. We still have to hand over. We have to hand over that control. We have to hand over the leash to God, the Holy Spirit, and we need to walk in the Spirit, walk beside Him, say, and He's going to hear you take the reins. You're going to be the pilot. And we walk. And that takes mortifying the flesh, that takes crucifying the flesh, that takes putting it down. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we're no longer walking after the dog, but we're walking with the Holy Spirit. And He's leading us along. And I think that is very important that we figure that we understand that. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed, changed. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Romans 8, verse 14, led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Do we see God's boundaries? Where God wants us to be? Number 8, we have the blessings and cursings. As you think about that, you know, being led by the Spirit versus being led by our flesh. There's a blessing and a cursing. It's not just a matter of having a nice walk. The end is the difference, right? You're either going to hell or we're going to heaven. There is only two places that we go. And it's all in who controlled our leash, all the way we go. The one way is wide and easy. The path of least resistance, that we talk about the wide and the narrow path. And the dog, if left go, will get lost, maybe get bitten, maybe get caught by its very own leash. Maybe get hit by a car. Maybe we'll end in a fruitless chase, whatever it may be. People in life, they've chased us all their life, things all their life, and what do they find at the end of life? Wow, not fulfillment, right? Only to end up in death. They might hurt others. They maybe are going to cause an accident, whatever it may be. But a dog that is under control is much more enjoyable, right? There's a relationship between the dog and the owner, and they know how to handle each other, and life can be enjoyed. When our emotions and all those things that God created to us and they are used to God's honor and glory, it can be a blessing to those around us, right? We can bless other people many different ways. And our walk can become enjoyable, even though it's a war. And it can become enjoyable, but we have to trust who is in control as we do that. So may God help us as you think about that. Who's at the end of your leash? God has to take control of our thoughts. We have to hand them over. We can have victory over every thought, every whim, every desire, every feeling, but we have to choose to take control, allow the Holy Spirit to take control. Where are we this evening? To him that overcometh shall inherit all things. That overcome is to win. To win the war. But that person that wins the war is controlled by the Spirit, not flesh. So this evening, where do you find yourself? Who's at the end of your leash? Who's controlling you and your life? Tonight, you can make a choice to change that. Maybe you find yourself a Christian for a while and you realize, I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me. I'll give this opportunity this evening that you make it right. Get it right with God tonight. Get back, turn the leash back over to God, and he can change it. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it's a start. It is a choice that you have to make. Maybe your leash, you have control of your leash ever since you've been born, and this is the first time, and you're thinking about that. You know what? I am not. You're realizing, you know what? I have a life that is living in sin, and I need to change. I need to turn that leash over. Think about that tonight. We're going to sing a verse or two of invitation, and if God has spoken to you, stand your feet. Make it known. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. It is a public acknowledgement that, you know what? I'm handing my leash over to God tonight, and I want to be on the path to glory, not the path to death. We have a song, you know.